The information given in this podcast is not meant to replace medical advice. Always consult your medical team. Welcome to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast, where it's all about you and overcoming your PCOS. And now, here's your host, Taryn.
Hi, and welcome to Session 5 of the PCOS Diet Support Podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to be tackling the important question of dairy for PCOS. It's something that I have addressed in an article on the blog, but it's something that I get so many questions about. And so we're going to be looking at why dairy is so bad for PCOS and possibly alternatives that you can incorporate into your diet to replace the dairy. Before we get into today's episode, just a reminder that if you do need some help with making the diet changes for managing your PCOS and you need some inspiration and good ideas of meals that you could have, you can sign up for weekly meal plans at PCOSdietsupport.com. All the meals are specifically designed to help you manage your PCOS, and you also get access to an exclusive online community. I've had really amazing feedback from a lot of women saying that they've seen huge improvements in their PCOS symptoms. A lot of them have lost weight or fallen pregnant or just generally feel better. So remember to head over to PCOSdietsupport.com for those weekly meal plans.
Today's featured segment.
Okay, let's have a look at why dairy is so bad for PCOS. Now, just before we get into it, let me just give you some background. I gave up dairy probably about 2 years ago, having researched why it was just so bad for PCOS. And within about a month of giving up dairy, I saw that my skin was much clearer. I lost a little bit of weight. My cycle started becoming more regular. And I cut out dairy along with all my other dietary changes. And within 5 months, I was pregnant. Since writing an article on the blog, I get so much feedback from women, especially women who suffer from cystic acne, who said that cutting out dairy has made significant improvements to their acne as well as their PCOS symptoms. So just why is dairy so bad for PCOS? Well, the main thing really is that all forms of dairy and all forms of mammalian milk, so it would happen in a mother's breast milk, in goats, sheep, cows, doesn't matter, any kind of milk product, has something called insulin growth factor 1. The main role of IGF-1 is that it promotes growth, which makes sense for a baby animal or a newborn baby. We want to stimulate as much growth as we can so that they can be healthy, obviously. Not so much in adults. We don't really want to stimulate the same amount of growth in adults. And the main problem with IGF-1 is that it mimics insulin. So it has a very similar role to insulin in the body, which basically means that it turns glucose into fat, which is something that obviously we want to avoid. The other thing is that IGF-1 stimulates cells to divide. So if you have an ovary that has a lot of immature follicles on it, so basically a polycystic ovary, we want to try and avoid getting those follicles to divide even further, because that's only going to create more cysts or more follicles. Now, the other big thing is that research has shown that women with PCOS, we already have high levels of this IGF-1. So by having dairy, all we're doing is adding more to our IGF-1 levels, which is something that we really do want to avoid. So basically, the main problem with dairy is the IGF-1, but that's not really where it stops. There's more to this picture. If you're buying standard pasteurized, homogenized milk that is not organic, you're also adding in all the additional hormones that are pumped into cows in order to get them to produce more milk. So basically, cows will only produce milk if they have a calf. And often, cows are given hormones, the same hormones that we would experience during pregnancy and lactation, to get them to keep producing the quantities of milk that they do. So as we ingest this milk, as we have the milk, we are also getting exposed to high levels of other hormones that are present in the cow's milk. Also, if you're not having organic milk, you're also exposing yourself to all sorts of antibiotics and other drugs that are fed to the cows. So for me, that would be one reason. If you are going to have dairy, at least have organic dairy. But as I said before, I would really eliminate dairy altogether because of that high IGF-1 levels. Now, there's something else that was really interesting about dairy. In doing my research for my article on the blog post, I found some amazing research that looks specifically at the glycemic index of certain foods. And what they found was that dairy products have a low glycemic index, but they actually produce a huge insulin response. So one article found, just by adding 200 milliliters of dairy, of milk, so that would be a glass of milk, to a normal low GI meal, it increased the insulin production by 300%. So that is huge. Basically, for some reason, dairy causes this huge insulin response. And again, it's really important. The whole thing with insulin and PCOS is that our ovaries produce testosterone, which is normal in all women. Women with PCOS have ovaries that are oversensitive to insulin. So the higher your insulin levels are, the more your ovaries are going to produce testosterone. And obviously, we really don't want that because we don't want to increase our testosterone levels. You know, that's linked to so many other symptoms of PCOS, including the acne, the increased hair growth, just those things that make us feel really unfeminine, should we say. So far we've said that dairy has IGF-1 in it, which will mimic insulin, encourage our body to store fat. Not only that, but because IGF-1 mimics insulin, it's also going to have a huge impact on our testosterone levels, cause our testosterone levels to rise. We also want to avoid all the hormones associated with dairy, not only hormones, but all the antibiotics and other chemicals that are given to the cows to encourage them to keep producing milk. And the third thing is that dairy products have this really big insulin response. Although they are low GI, any foods that you eat with them become high GI foods. The other thing that I really want to bring to light is that there's been a lot of research linking acne as well as some forms of cancer to consumption of dairy. And again, it's all about, well, the acne is really closely linked to the testosterone levels. So IGF-1 will raise testosterone levels, giving you cystic acne. And in terms of cancer, because the IGF-1 stimulates cell division, the theory is that that could lead to cancerous growth. So that's really, for me, one of the key reasons to eliminate dairy from our diets. And I know this is something that so many women struggle with. You know, they could say, you know, I'll give up anything but having my yogurt in the morning or having my cheese or, I mean, a big thing is not having coffee and not having milk in our coffee. A lot of women really struggle with that. And so we seem to kind of try to find ways around it. And so I get a lot of questions as to how to eliminate dairy, what kinds of alternatives are out there. So let's get into that. One of the big questions that I get is, what about goat's milk? Is goat's milk a safe alternative? And the answer to that really is no. No dairy is a good alternative. The reason is that dairy, again, is an animal product. The animal product of dairy has IGF-1, and that's the foundation of all of our problems. So goat's milk may not be so high in lactose or other proteins that are found in cow's milk, but it's still going to be high in IGF-1. Therefore, we should completely avoid it. The next thing I can hear you say, but what about the calcium? We've had it drilled into us that dairy will give us calcium. And yes, it will. But actually, you get far more calcium in other plant-based products. So things like broccoli and cruciferous vegetables are very high in calcium. So if you're having loads of greens on a daily basis, your calcium supply will be adequate. It'll be absolutely fine. Something that I'm really enjoying and really getting into at the moment is bone broth. And it sounds quite scary, but basically what you do is you can roast bones. You know, there could be, I buy bones from my butcher. They are really inexpensive. I make sure that I buy organic so that I'm getting a really good quality product. And you pop those bones into the slow cooker for 2 or 3 days on a really low setting. And what that does is it leaches all the nutrients out of the bone and you get a really high calcium content in bone broth. So that's a really, really good source of calcium, and not only calcium, but so many nutrients that are really beneficial for you. So if you feel adventurous and want to get into bone broth, I really highly recommend it. If you're not quite so adventurous, if you're worried about your calcium levels, you can always take a calcium supplement. But I really feel that you could make sure that you get enough calcium through non-dairy products and through vegetable-based products, as opposed to having dairy. So the next thing then is, what about yogurt? And I get asked this question again. I get asked this question a lot, especially because when we think about yogurt, we often think about the probiotic benefits of yogurt. And yes, there are probiotic benefits, but we've got to weigh up the probiotics versus the IGF-1 and all the dairy associated with the yogurt and the impact on our PCOS. Now, there are alternatives for getting probiotics. And if you look on the blog, I've just written a post on probiotics. And there are amazing sources of probiotics in either any kind of fermented food. So in fermented sauerkraut is amazingly high in probiotics. There's something like a trillion different probiotics in sauerkraut. So I would highly recommend sauerkraut. You can get it through something called kombucha, which is a fermented tea in water kefir, for example. There are great alternatives for probiotics. So if your main thing for yogurt is probiotics, then there are definitely alternatives to getting that apart from yogurt. And obviously you could also take a probiotic supplement. So that then leaves us with, well, what do we have? What are our options when it comes to dairy? Because we don't really want to kind of eliminate all milk products. What about having milk and gluten-free granola? What about having milk and coffee? What else is out there? So when I gave up dairy, the first thing that I turned to was soy milk. And in later research, I realized that soy milk is really not the way to go. Soy milk is often promoted as a health food product. But my concern with soy milk is that it has been shown that it can delay ovulation. Now, in women with PCOS, why on earth would you want to delay ovulation even more than it already is? So for me, I have completely eliminated soy products from my diet, and I really recommend that you do the same. So soy milk would not be a good alternative. For me personally, I really enjoy almond milk. I find almond milk is a great alternative. I often have it in smoothies, or if I want a latte even, I will have almond milk in my latte. Or even, you know, I've often given it to my daughter on her cereal in the morning. And so almond milk is a good alternative. You can also now get coconut milk. And in the UK in particular, Alpro have just produced a new brand of coconut milk that is really coconutty. It's got a really wonderful coconut flavor. And I love coconut. I think it's delicious in a latte. It almost tastes like a hazelnut or a flavored latte. It's really lovely. There's also rice milk, oat milk. There are all sorts of milk alternatives. So I would really look into a plant-based milk alternative. And you really do need to experiment with this and see what you like, what you don't like, see what works in tea or coffee, and see if you can find something that you find tolerable. So then this is my last point, really, is that a lot of women are saying, well, what about their coffee or their tea? They can't function in the morning without that first cup of coffee, that first cup of tea, and they really need it to kickstart their day. Also, a lot of women are saying, well, you know, they can't really find a happy medium, a good alternative to milk in their coffee. So my response to that would be this. Don't let your daily milk in your tea or coffee be a deal breaker for you. You know, a couple of tablespoons of milk in your coffee is not going to kill your PCOS. It would be fine. For me, it's looking at your dairy intake in context, as in the whole day, and really bringing that down as low as you can. So for me, I do have milk. I cannot find a nice replacement for milk in my cup of tea. And I really enjoy my tea. So I do have a couple of drops of milk in my tea every day. I would say that my total intake of milk on a daily basis would be half a cup or less. So it's really not a huge amount of milk. I have absolutely no cheese. I don't have yogurt. I don't have any other forms of dairy. So please do not let your morning tea or coffee routine be a deal breaker for eliminating dairy from your diet. We all need those little luxuries every now and then. Yeah, we just need to be able to take some time to find the things that we enjoy. And if coffee is your thing, please feel free to enjoy your coffee with a little bit of milk. Maybe don't go for the full-blown latte, but have your cup of coffee and enjoy it. So here is my challenge to you. If you're really struggling to give up dairy, if dairy is your thing and you really enjoy it, my challenge to you is give it up for 30 days. Eliminate all forms of dairy from your diet and see how you feel. I am 90% sure that you're going to feel so much better, that your PCOS symptoms will have improved. Hopefully you'll see an improvement in your acne. You won't feel as bloated. I'm sure, absolutely convinced, that giving up dairy is going to be really helpful for your PCOS. And I have to say that once I'd given it up, I honestly can say that I don't crave it, I don't miss it. It's become very much the norm for me not to have dairy, and I don't even give it a second thought. So for those 30 days, the first week, I'd say might be a challenge. But honestly, you will get very used to not having dairy. And I notice now that if I do have dairy, if I have a latte or if I have a yogurt, for example, I feel really uncomfortable afterwards. And I just know that it's not good for me. So that's why I try and avoid it at all costs. So just to summarize, we said that dairy is really not good for PCOS, mainly because the IGF-1, which will lead to an increase in testosterone. It also promotes the conversion of glucose into fat. We really want to avoid IGF-1. And so as a result, we want to avoid all forms of dairy. Also, dairy is very insulinogenic, so it causes a huge insulin response, even though it's not particularly high GI. There are loads of dairy alternatives that you can have. You just need to really experiment with them and see if you can come up with the right one. So if you have any questions or comments on dairy, dairy alternatives, why we need to give up dairy, please just feel free to contact me at taryn@pcosdietsupport.com. Alternatively, you can leave a message on the blog and I will try and get back to you, or we can try and answer the questions in future podcasts. So thank you so much for sharing your time with me. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate all your support and I look forward to the next podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast. For more PCOS diet tips and support, visit my site at PCOSdietsupport.com.